Hello and welcome to Monocle on Culture. I'm Robert Bounds. Well, our little show has been touched with stardust this week, and the hand scattering the sparkles belongs to none other than Jessie Ware. Since her debut album Devotion was released in 2012 and subsequently nominated for the Mercury Prize, the British singer-songwriter has taken up residence at the very top of the charts, and there she has stayed. From that perch, she's racked up a total of 6 Brit Award nominations, become famous for her bright, catchy tunes, exuberant live shows, and legions of superfans. Jessie Ware is loved. But Jessie's career is far from one note. Alongside her charming mother, Lenny, she's made a name for herself in the world of broadcasting with the hit podcast Table Manners. Every episode, the pair invite hotshot guests over for dinner to chat about food, family, and everything in between. Banterland has 2 new queens. I was delighted to be joined in the studio by Jessie to mark the release of her latest album, That Feels Good, a disco-tinged, effervescent celebration of pop music that lords pleasure and makes no apologies for it.
That feels good.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's only bloody Jessie Ware on the Culture Show. Lovely to meet you, Jessie. Thank you for coming
too.
In.
And we have lots of mutual friends that used to work at Monocle.
Exactly. I know. It's a very small world. It's like the Monocle Venn diagram is also like a Death Star that sucks you in and sometimes pushes you out, but it's mostly a happy house.
How long have you been here?
A happy house. Since 2007.
You're firmly in the coffin, like velvet coffin.
I am. That is the piece of furniture I most resemble. Thank you for pointing that out. This is a radio show. No one knows what I look like. It's fine.
You're very handsome. And you've got very glowy skin. So no one would know that you are in a radio.
As previously discussed, we didn't know what to wear today.
Well, why have you got a tan? Where have you been?
Scotland.
No, stop. I had to pay for Cyprus for this miniature glow.
Oh, you look wonderful.
Well, no.
It's going
yours looks a bit better. Where were you in Scotland?
Promo, like Edinburgh.
Oh, I love Edinburgh.
honestly, I think it might be windburn, Jessie. That's what it is.
Up older Arthur's seat.
Exactly. Leave Arthur's seat out of it. Talking of which, I feel your record, That Feels Good, is kind of aimed at, it's grabbing people by a certain body part. With some of the song titles, such as Shake the Bottle, Freak Me Now.
Genitalia.
Short and Curlies. I was going to say Scruff of the Neck. We could go further
short
down.
I don't know what kind of Short and Curlies you're talking about, Rob. I just made this so lowbrow for Monocle. I'm so sorry. We're about to go there. Let's go there.
I think it was, we got overexcited.
Yeah.
It's the lack of breakfast and the coffee.
Oh, yeah, we could go anywhere now.
That's kind of, so how soon into recording the record did you choose such a vibey, grabbing people by the scruff of the neck title?
Well, as soon as we made That Feels Good, I knew I wanted it to be the album title. Yeah. It felt so kind of buoyant and fun, and also the song was fun, and so I wanted it to start the record, but I also thought it's quite a funny old title because it's got the exclamations, the double exclamation, which somebody on the internet when I announced it said that the only other person they think that they can remember that's got that is Shania Twain with Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
Oh, that's good.
And that
knowledge
went quite well for them. So I feel like hopefully the only way is up.
There you go.
This record.
Reeling in the Grammys.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you'd probably put an extension on.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be great.
Just to hold them. So that, you call it That Feels Good.
Well,
I
loved,
you can't keep stopping in the middle of the
sentence. I appreciated how you did a pause. I did appreciate that. I just think if I do that every time, people are going to think I'm an absolute wanker. Are you not? You're not allowed. Are we live?
You are allowed.
Are we live?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
We're not live, but we're also not the BBC.
Okay, great.
So you're okay.
Okay, great.
Wankers are fine.
Perfect.
Welcome. Always welcome. And this is such a buoyant, bouncy. It's such a vibey record.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful. It's been used for some pre-release soundtrack dance parties in SE3.
Okay, good.
And is it as fun to make a record that sounds that fun, or is it a work of teeth grinding lunacy until it comes out and you're like, this is wonderful. It sounds like this.
It is fun, but there was a lot of kind of frustration making this record because we were still part of a lockdown when I started making it. So we were making a lot of it over the internet on Zoom, which I don't advise to anybody to do ever. Yeah. I never want to go back there. However, maybe that's what made things like Begin Again and That Feels Good happen, because there was this need for escapism. It was so fun working with James Ford again, Shin Goodso, Danny.
Yeah.
And also meeting Stuart Price, who I hadn't worked with before, who's done records like Confessions on the Dance Floor. It was fun.
Pet Shop Boys, song called Madonna, yes. I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
Decent.
Yeah, not bad. Fun. I think I was having fun.
Okay. So
the
Zoom, we'll have a look in the archive of the Zoom comments section.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
During that
I mean,
period.
No, look, the Zooms, I never want to make music like that ever again, but only part of the record was made like that. Mm. And I think, yeah, the title is representative of how I was feeling and where I'm at. So yeah, it was good fun.
Nice. Because if the lockdown was like a funny chrysalis, this is the butterfly. This has gone bananas. It's such a brilliant sounding record.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it was meant to be danced.
Kind of enough of this. Let's get out there.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm glad that you're putting it on. And people are dancing. It's to be enjoyed. It's I think my job as a musician artist is to entertain and make people feel good at the moment. That's my job, and I think that hopefully I've succeeded in that.
Is it kind of nice now you're in promo mode and you're talking about it? I guess it loses a sense of its reality in a certain way. It becomes kind of more abstract than actually making the thing and listening to it over and over again and perfecting it. Is it nice also to talk about such a vibey record? Is it a easier thing to talk about than a more confessional record or a more kind of quiet record, I wonder?
Yeah, totally. It's also really interesting when people tell you about the record and they go, well, you know, there's loads of parallels with... And you're like, I didn't even think about it. I was just trying to make a beat and have a dance. And try and see how filthy I could go with innuendo. But no, it is really... It's quite interesting seeing how I'm now understanding, which was unbeknownst to me when I was making it and putting it together, kind of the parallels of some of the lyrics and all of that. So that's... But that's very much thanks to people, intelligent people like you that analyse it, or, you know, because I wasn't doing any of that.
You're the one with the parallels, Jessie.
Oh, well. but no, it is much more fun talking about a record that is just meant to be enjoyed, because it kind of is supposed to do what it says on the tin.
Yeah, and you can be a brilliant, you can be vibey when you're talking about it.
Yeah.
Not that you wouldn't normally be.
No, but I'm also in a good place. I think I'm very happy with all the different hats that I wear and doing all the different things that I do. I appreciate that. So
yeah. It'd be nice to have a chat about some of that stuff, because collaboration is something that's now kind of in the family as well. We'll come to
Lenny.
Table manners a little bit later on.
Yeah, fine.
But back to That Feels Good. Mm-hmm. That, ladies and gentlemen, feels good.
Does it annoy you that it's got the exclamation,
like it,
or do you like it?
It's more like I'm kind of doing a voiceover to sell it now. It feels, do you know, it's like, That Feels Good.
Maybe
available now.
I don't know if we've done the telly promo yet.
Right.
So look, you, if you fancy it.
There you go. Yeah, with my sort of cheesy DJ voice on.
Very good.
Baby, keep hitting me up. Oh, no, don't you go me down. Baby, keep hitting me up. Oh, Making an album, presumably, you've gone through different processes. You've done the Zoom thing, back and forth to LA, all the rest of it. When you're making an album, how do you keep the vibe? Because that's the thing. Because this has obviously got, you know, there's slower numbers in the middle of the record and stuff like that. But it's got a kind of very continuous vibe. Do you have to kind of keep that going? Do you have to, is that a production thing? Is that your sort of songwriting backbone? How do you kind of keep the rhythm of the production of it?
You've got like an inventory of when you're making these songs. When you're first starting out to make the record, you're just kind of going, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
What's going to be created? And then you start getting a few of your faves and you keep on returning to them. My poor husband has to listen to them with my kids. And I'm like, this one's really great, isn't it, babe? And he's like, yeah, it's fine. Can we just park for the park? So that happens. So you start, in my head, I'm constantly changing the track listing. It's completely about making sure that the set works. And I'm always thinking
your
about
albums
it.
Your albums are albums. They're listen-throughs.
And it, particularly for the last two, it's been very important for it to feel like a set list, to feel like there's, you know, ebbs and flows and ups and downs and breathers. And so it's very much, but you have to write the songs. So it's very much about which one.
There is that.
Yeah. So you've got to think about what, I was very much thinking about this in conjunction with What's Your Pleasure, my last record, and about how a song like Shake the Bottle on this record could really work well with Ooh La La from What's Your Pleasure. So for me, it was not only making the record, but me thinking about how this was going to translate live and how it was going to complement these other songs. So for me, it was kind of partnering up songs together or making threes of things. But yeah, the vibe. You keep it, I guess, because I'm trying to make a dance record.
Yeah.
So if there's a groove and a beat and it makes me want to dance, then I guess there's a vibe there. And it's about how you fit that in. I find that quite satisfying, that part.
Yeah. No, because it's one of those things you can start off and kind of get, this is what I'm making. I'm going to make my alt folk masterpiece or something. And then you're kind of halfway through, like, I don't know. But this has got such a kind of locomotive kind of, you know, it's got an inevitability about
it. Thank you. I had an intention as soon as I started out that I knew what I wanted to achieve, and I think I've achieved that. So it was like a soulful groove record that was, I guess, not... I mean, it was really funny when I got the whole disco title with What's Your Pleasure. I knew I was making dance music on What's Your Pleasure, but then it became this thing in every interview. It was like me, Roisin, Lady Gaga and Dua Lipa and Kylie were being grouped as these like people that were bringing back disco. And we didn't know we were doing that, and I didn't know that I was making a disco record.
Did you not have a group WhatsApp?
We had a group Zoom.
Come on, girls, come on, let's do this.
Exactly. I wish. But it was also, it was really, it lent itself to, you know, a nice piece of writing for, it was hugely complimentary, but I wanted to kind of relish in the musicality of dance music and disco in that sense, but in different tempos for this record. So yeah, I had an intention that I set out to do, think I did it, but it was, I don't know what the bloody question was now, but
it's fine. It is.
We danced
it
hard.
We danced hard. You mentioned family. Who do you test those early runs of the tracks on?
My kids.
Good.
And they are really good A&Rs.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
firm but fair, or just they?
You just know.
Are they just vibey?
You know if they're singing something back to you, you've got a hook.
Right.
So
that's
like,
that's probably a genuine piece of feedback, right?
I mean, they're currently singing a lot of Green.
Don't tell me, Shake the Bottle.
No. And it was quite awkward when my daughter was singing Ooh La La on the last one, and this one she was singing That Feels Good, and I was a bit like, oh God, maybe we should skip this one. I think I had them in mind along with my fans of, and my hairdresser Patrick, he's Scouse, and he was just like, you've got to do the bits like the ooh-la-las. And so I had them in my mind where I was like, okay, well, so with Pearls, there's the la-la-la-la-la.
Love it.
And so I was like, right, okay, well, I'll try that out on the kids. And they'd sing it back. I was like, great, well, that stays. My husband's brilliant because he's got great taste and he also has no agenda. So he just likes what he likes.
Yeah.
And so...
Honest to goodness, right? It's good.
And his song choices on this, his favourites are songs like Hello Love, Lightning. Mm. He doesn't particularly like Pearls. He understands what it does. But then I don't really care because my kids love it.
It went out as a single.
And my mother loves it and it's a single. Yeah. And then I really think that I've tried to make him love Begin Again. I don't think he's that bothered about it. But that's okay. I've got something for everyone.
Got something for everyone.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that kind of call and response thing with your kids. Mm. Obviously, your audiences love that. Your music, and especially this kind of record, the new one, is kind of music for, I'm going to use a phrase like public space, but it's public music, right? It's for clubs, it's for dancing, it's for audiences. Your fans love you. That must be a wonderful sign when you start road testing some of these tracks live and then... they're coming back, those choruses are coming back to you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm yet to do that. And so actually, I'm headlining West Hollywood Pride.
Amazing.
And it's going to be my first show in a while, but with new material in. And I hope they're kind, but it'll be fine.
It's going to be sunny.
I'll just go sing it, so I don't have to sing it.
Drive through town in an open top car singing it. I think that's,
okay,
that's the vibe.
I'll do that. I'll blow the budget on a convertible, fine. But I'm so excited about that because I think that was what was so fantastic about What's Your Pleasure. Look, they had to wait a very long time for the live show to happen because of old pandemic. Mm. But when it happened, it was magic. Yeah. And... I make my music as a conversation and for us to do it, have it together. So, and also the ego in me just it loves someone singing my song back to
Glad
me
to
because
hear
it's
it.
Great. Totally. It's nothing better. Like the low I had when I came back from 6 weeks on tour, when I came back and I was so very happy to see my family.
Yeah.
But I had proper tour blues, probably because I wasn't being filled with adoration.
You're wonderful, Jessie. This is amazing, Jessie. What would you like, Jessie?
Instead, when I was supposed to be on stage, I was doing bath time and my kids were throwing shit at me and instead of knickers and wigs.
Yes, exactly.
It's really good fun and it is part of the joy of the job. So yeah, I can't wait for that moment. Hello, love. I just stopped.
There's a few kind of maybe indirect references on the record. I think, you know, we've talked about disco, but you've mentioned, I think, Donna Summer talking about this record and probably Chaka Khan and Minnie Riperton and these ultimate and Grace Jones and these goddesses.
Yeah.
Are you interested in finding the, in terms of the songwriting or getting into the vibe to make a record, do you study them or do you just listen to those records? Do you just love the vibe of them and the sound of them?
The closest I've got to studying someone is probably Donna Summer because I did a Radio 4 kind of piece
of course,
on her.
Yeah.
But that wasn't for my own music. But then I guess I had that knowledge and I found her quite fascinating.
Yeah.
Because she started in musical theatre. She learnt German to sing in Hair, the musical, in, like, Germany.
Yeah.
And that was, like, post-war Germany.
So Helen Moroder got on.
Yeah, it's just fascinating that they created this sound and the characters that she played, because that she was quite a religious church girl and that she was doing Love to Love You and she was kind of having to pretend that she was somebody else. Yeah. And that resonates with me. So all of that was quite interesting and familiar. Not that I'm not a church girl, but, like, I'm a nice Jewish girl. But it's not the same thing. But I've always felt quite uncomfortable in my own skin as being, like, you know, Jessie from South London, who actually is quite normal. So for me to kind of go into these characters, which a lot of this record and the last record was.
Stage
totally
work as well,
for the
right?
performance, for the stage, for all of it. So that's really fun. But I've never studied them. But I didn't mean it in the sense of you
doing moves in the mirror in order to go out on stage.
I think that
picking up the vibe.
Totally. I think it's fascinating, and you kind of I absorb them and I think it's, you know, I make a playlist of all the songs where I'm enjoying them and I'm thinking, what do I love about this mood, this moment? And I'm trying to recreate something like that. So, yeah, I mean, there's a level of kind of study that goes into creating a record, I think.
Yeah, and just loving stuff.
Yeah.
Loving stuff.
Because it's got to be
enjoyable.
Totally.
Right. You've mentioned some of the amazing collaborators you've got on the record, vocally as well. I mean, phenomenal kind of list. What about, and one of the most fruitful partnerships, we mentioned this at the top of our chat, is collaborating with your mum, Lenny, on Table Manners.
Yeah.
Huge hit podcast from which we could learn much, team. Right? No.
Your producer just looked at you like...
She gave me a massive
evil. She's got
her
hands crossed like that. She's like, shut up and get on with the questions.
She really is, isn't she? Side-eye.
Yeah,
side-eye.
Proper.
What about that? I mean, is that a different part of your... I mean, that's a very different part of your brain, I guess, but it's a work of collaboration. Does that sort of set you free to make the records and you kind of left switch, right switch for doing these different things?
I think, like, being a parent, doing the podcast, doing music, I'm allowed these different avenues, which mean that I do have to switch off from another thing because you... do a different job.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really fun. And I feel very lucky that I get to do all these different things. And also kind of proud of myself that I've been able to create these different avenues, because I think if I was just doing music, well, I don't know if I'd be making the last two records like I did, because there would be different pressures on me there would be kind of obsession and pressure. I mean, music is everything to me, but it's not my be all and end all, which is, I'm very lucky to say.
Mm.
And I have... this amazing thing that I do with my mum that's so unique that still surprises me, and I think surprises her, that, you know, we do these podcasts. Like last night we had a brilliant chef over called Alison Roman, mm-hmm. who we loved her cookbook. So she was coming to do a book tour and we get to have her on. But then like a few weeks before we have Pink. It's like, it's mad.
It's a broad church.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
And it still thrills us.
But you're so good at asking questions because you really...
God, am I?
Yeah, you both are, though. It's
Thank
a good
you.
Little... Because you can slide things in that are a little bit... It's cheeky, it's brilliant, it's such good listening.
Thank you.
And it's so difficult to get... There's lots of things that try to maybe have that vibe or that, you know, and to have that natural thing is great. Did that just come from having dinner and kind of going, this is really fun?
Someone came round
for dinner and said, you guys are excellent.
No, she was not supposed to have such a lead role, to be honest. She was supposed to fix the food and sod off. And then that didn't work out like
right,
that because she's too much of a star.
She just turned up with her own mic, her own kit one day.
She was just like, she's too fabulous. So Tom Morris, who used to work for Monocle, can attest to this, and John Openshaw, who used to work here.
We know. She's
a bit of an icon.
Yeah.
But she's always been one before I gave her a mic. You know, she's been loved, and she's been, you know, she's a social worker, still works. She's 71. Mm. But she was always quite fabulous with her red lip at the school gates.
She loves
a red lip, loves leopard print, and loves food and gossiping and chatting. And I am slowly morphing in, luckily for me, into my mother, maybe not luckily for my husband. When we go on holiday, I'm literally scouting for strangers who I can make friends with. Like, I live for it.
Love
so
it.
The idea that we meet new people every week to discuss food and like family, it's the dream job.
It's the dream.
It's the dream.
It's so good. And yeah, it is. Well, there's some good genes there. I think you've got some good DNA to grow into with Lenny.
I need to get a good red lip though.
A good red lip. And back on the record and now taking that out, taking it into studios to talk about it and taking it on the road to tour it. Is that, we talked about kind of whether or not it's nice to talk about a vibey up record and I guess it is. What about touring it? You said you kind of like felt a little bit down in the dumps when you got back from the tour, in the sense that I guess it's loads of adrenaline all the time and you get addicted to it a bit.
Yeah.
What else happens on tour? Are you a rider woman? Are you a demanding... Is Miss Ware will see you now? Are you a finger clicker?
I definitely... I mean, no, I'm not a finger clicker. I definitely... when we were on the tour with Harry Styles, we supported him in Chicago for a few nights.
Yeah.
And he had a brilliant setup and he had this amazing crew. And the thing that got me going was that he had a like nurse the whole time. Well, they had it for kind of COVID reasons.
Someone dressed up as well,
no? No. No, she was fabulous. This lovely woman who was there for like the health and safety, whatever. But I was like immediately in being like, you got any B, you know, the shots in the bum, B, whatever, B12 injections and stuff like that. I was like, oh, what have you got? And there was me, like the first time I meet Harry Styles is with a drip in my
proffering.
Arm, hydrating. And he's like, hi, Jessie. I'm like, hi, this is me. Enjoying
maxing it out.
Yeah, so enjoying myself that there's like really good healthcare on and first aid on Harry's run. No, I'm not a diva. I am.
You might have to be.
I'm quite boring with my rider because.
Okay.
You pay,
vitamin B12.
You pay for your rider,
right?
So I'm kind of like, it's chewing gum, it's a bit of honey and ginger.
Yeah.
Throat coat, nuts. It's very boring. I'm very boring on tour with like how I eat, how I drink.
You've got to keep the show on the road.
You've got to keep the show on the road. Yeah, so it's really fun having these moments where you don't forget that you're a parent, but like you feel really naughty that you've got like you're out on a school night and that you don't have to wake up in the morning at like 7.
Well,
so like I could sleep in if I want until sound check.
I'm a
motherfucking pop star.
Exactly.
It's really. It's wild.
These guys all came for me.
No, it's more just the lion. I'm just thrilled about the lion.
It's all about the lion. Well, it's a lot more than that. We'll be dancing
fun.
All night to it. Jessie Ware.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in to tell us about, what is it? That feels good.
I think you need to go up more on the good because there's two exclamations. That's what I just think.
That feels good.
No, that's a question mark.
Exactly.
That feels good.
Oh. Beautiful.
Thank you.
And that is it for this week. That feels good. How's my emphasis, Jessie? It's out now and guaranteed to make an excellent summer soundtrack. Monocle on Culture is produced by Sophie Monaghan-Coombs and Steph Chungu, and Steph also edits the show. We'll be back at the same time next week. But until then, from me, Robert Bound, thanks for tuning in. Beautiful people everywhere, everywhere.